This is True News, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God. Former President Donald Trump isn't backing away from his administration's push to develop and roll out to the American public the experimental mRNA gene therapy operating systems that were injected into the bodies of millions of people. He was asked about the pseudo-vaccines during a campaign event in Iowa. We will show you his response in a few minutes. Meanwhile, most Americans are opting out of getting more COVID vaccine booster shots. Let's look at this report published by Fox News. The headline, most U.S. adults are declining COVID boosters as CDC warns of health risk, relatively little protection. Gee, Doc, a year or two ago, if you said that, you'd be deplatformed.
That's right.
You would be called conspiracy theorist, promoter of medical disinformation.
Right. Don't you trust the science?
But the CDC now warns of health risk.
So according to Fox News, a new study from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention suggests that adults who are not up to date on their COVID-19 vaccine booster doses may have relatively little remaining protection against hospitalization compared to those who have not been vaccinated at all. The study examined more than 85,000 hospitalizations of people with COVID-like illness across multiple states. Despite the CDC's September 2022 recommendation that all vaccinated people 12 years and older should receive a booster dose, the vast majority of Americans have not received it. As of May 10th of this year, only 1 in 5, or 20% of U.S. adults had received a bivalent booster dose. A couple of quotes from this article. The study found that the effectiveness of the bivalent mRNA vaccine dropped from 62% at 2 months after vaccination to just 24% at 4 to 6 months for protection against COVID-19 hospitalization. And despite the CDC's recommendation that all vaccinated people 12 years and older should receive a booster dose, of course, as we mentioned earlier, only 20.5% of U.S. adults had received that booster dose. Now, Dr. Shanna Johnson, a physical medicine and rehabilitation physician in Scottsdale, Arizona, was not involved in the CDC study, but did review its findings. And she said for adults, the vaccine effectiveness dropping from 62% at 2 months after vaccination to 24% at 4 to 6 months for protection against COVID-19 hospitalization. Durability was better for preventing COVID-19 disease at 50% at 4 to 6 months after vaccination.
So, Doc, I'd like to know, we will never know the truth, but if you could get the statistics on all the people who were promoting the COVID vaccine propaganda, the news media guys, the health experts, the politicians, the celebrities, everybody that was in on it.
Right.
The ones that really, you know, completely believed it, or at least did what they were told and said what they were told, including some famous pastors.
Right.
Okay. I'd like to know how many of them have gotten those people, how many of them are still getting their booster shots. Oh, I'd love to hook them up to a lie detector. Yeah. How many of them are still getting their booster shots? I bet most of them have just slinked away like little weasels, and they're not saying anything to anybody, but they're not getting their booster shots because they know, first of all, it doesn't protect you. You're going to get COVID anyhow. And they also know that most likely you're going to get heart disease or strokes or some other.
Or blood clots in your brain.
Yes. So. Okay. So they're just quietly backing away and not saying anything and hoping that nobody remembers what they said. But I think there should be like a 24/7 video playing continuously of all the statements by the propagandists, just to remind the world forever, this is what they told us. Here are the lies, over and over and over and over. the people on CNN, the people on MSNBC, Fox News, the New York Times, Washington Post, the CDC,
I mean,
Fauci.
In 2020 and 2021, they were saying that if you got the shot, you weren't going to get COVID at all. Remember that?
Sorry?
Biden said that. The lady in charge of the CDC said that. I mean,
they were saying that if you didn't get vaccinated, you were causing other people to die.
Right.
They were liars. They're still liars. But a few people are calling them to accountability for the lies that they told. It's kind of like the lies involving President Trump, what the FBI told. But in this case, President Trump was one of the people lying.
Yes.
He wanted the vaccines to be called the Trump scenes. So he was recently asked about it on a campaign stop in Iowa. This is National Review. President Trump responds to COVID criticism. I was able to do something nobody else could have done, he bragged. Here's a small video clip of that statement.
What do you think you would do differently?
Yeah, well, everybody wanted a vaccine at that time. And I was able to do something that nobody else could have done, getting it done very, very rapidly. But I never was for mandates. I thought the mandates were terrible. And there's a big portion of the country that thinks that was a great thing. You understand that. Not a lot of the people in this room, but there is a big portion.
All right. Two things, Doc. First of all, he said everybody wanted the vaccines. No, we did not. Everybody did not want the vaccines. Everybody around Donald Trump wanted the vaccines. And then number two, he switched it to, but I was always against the mandates. And his supporters were clapping. But the same people clapping for him are mentally blacking out.
Yes.
That he was the one who brought about the vaccines and the mandates.
Absolutely. He was in support of both.
Do you remember his attorney, Dershowitz? Remember what Dershowitz said? The army could come into your house and drag you out and inject a needle into you. That was Dershowitz, Mr. Trump's personal attorney and close friend. We were wondering at that time.
Will they do it?
Is that the plan? They're going to drag us out by military troops out of our homes?
Are we going to see army trucks at the gates of our HOAs? You can't get in or out without having your vaccine card.
Look, the thing that most people still don't know to this day is that the COVID vaccine project was a Pentagon project. The Pentagon was in charge. They're still in charge. They produced the vaccines. They simply outsourced it to the pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
But the Pentagon was running that operation. That was a military operation. And that's why Dershowitz was being so bold, because he knew if we have to, we're going to have a presidential decree telling the military to pull people out of their homes and vaccinate them by force. It never came to that, but they were thinking it. And that was under Donald Trump. And it was Donald Trump who gave us Dr. Fauci running the COVID response.
He had every opportunity to fire him, and Dr. Bricks too, but didn't. Why? Because?
It was a military operation.
Right.
And he knew it was a military operation. So I can't give Donald Trump any slack on this at all. He was the driving force behind the mRNA pseudo-vaccines. They were gene therapy operating systems. And I don't know whether Mr. Trump is aware of the physical damage that's been done to millions of people. I don't know if he knows. And if he knows, I don't know if he cares. But he's never backed down. He still stands by it. And if he gets in the White House again, he'll do it again. I want to say that to you. If Donald Trump gets back in the White House, he will do it again. He would put a Fauci type of person back in power. He would authorize the military to develop a new type of vaccine. He would do the whole thing again. He has no remorse about it at all. He's not backing down. Why in the world would anybody want to vote for him now?
I mean, and you saw the reaction of the supporters at the rally there. I don't understand how you can say, oh, you know, he made the vaccine. Oh, he didn't, enforce mandates. Isn't that kind of contradictory?
It is. That just shows you people, there's a disconnect in reality. Those same people that were clapping for him were the same people who opposed the vaccines. It's just really weird. I can't figure out the way people think. For that reason alone, I'm telling you, the rollout of the vaccines cancels my vote for Donald Trump forever. That's the way I view it. What we went through in 2 years, that was one of the scariest things I've ever seen in my lifetime. I don't want to ever go through this again. And he was at the forefront of it. And, he says he was against lockdowns, but it was his CDC that issued the lockdown orders.
Right.
He's the one who appointed the CDC director. I mean, the guy talks out of both sides of his mouth. That whole COVID operation was under the Trump administration.
And just carried over into the Biden administration.
And it would not have mattered if Donald Trump was in the White House or Hillary Clinton. The same plan would have been rolled out because he wasn't in charge of it. He was just going along with what the military told him. This is the plan. This is what we're doing.
Unless it was the plan to manipulate the elections, the whole idea of the rollout of COVID and the operating system that followed in order to change the way we changed the way we do elections back
That's
in
right.
2020 because of COVID, and those changes are now permanent.
Well, Doc, if it was part of the plan, he doesn't comprehend it. He didn't comprehend it then. When he went to Walter Reed, he according to his own words, received some
chemical cocktail.
Yeah, some experimental drugs. That, remember the one that had human mice cells
right.
in it? I mean, that's in Donald Trump. Humanized mouse cells is what he had placed in his body. And he doesn't have any problem with that because the man doesn't have a moral compass. What is Donald Trump's moral compass? Whatever is good for Donald Trump.
Yeah, whatever advances his particular agenda that particular day.
Oh, well, I don't want to get... I'll get a lot of flack from everybody who's determined they're going to vote for him again, and yet at the same time condemn Fauci and the vaccines.
Yes.
It's so weird and crazy. I can't think like that. I just can't get my brain to think that crazy. While we're talking about mRNA vaccines, I found this today in the Singapore newspaper, the Straits Times. And it says, cancer vaccines set to unlock new treatment paradigm
with Merck and
Moderna.
Yeah, and just keep in mind, just because they're saying it's vaccines, they're really not vaccines, they're operating systems. They're using the same technology in these new cancer, quote, vaccines that they used in the COVID operating systems. And so, according to the Straits Times, cancer vaccines may be poised to unlock a new treatment paradigm, and that's thanks to promising data from a mid-stage trial involving experimental mRNA-based vaccine from Moderna and Merck. The trial found that the vaccine, when used in combination with Merck's Keytruda, reduce the risk of the most deadly skin cancer spreading by 65% compared to treatment with immunotherapy alone. The combination also cuts the risk of death or recurrence of melanoma by 44% compared to Keytruda alone. Now, a couple of quotes from this article. These results add to a growing body of evidence that mRNA technology can be used to assemble personalized vaccines that train the immune system to attack specific types of cancer cells in the patient's tumors. The hope is that this will lead to a new generation of cancer therapies that are better tolerated and unique to individual patients' tumors. Now, this partnership between Merck and Moderna is one of several combining powerful drugs that unleash the immune system to target cancers with mRNA, they say, vaccine technology. Other companies such as Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine partner BioNTech and Gritstone Bio are also making similar approaches to using mRNA technology. And although scientists have been chasing the dream of vaccines to treat cancer for decades with few successes, mRNA vaccines paired with drugs that rev up the immune system may finally unlock a new treatment paradigm in cancer.
Doc, in a few years, there will not be any traditional vaccines still available. They're rolling out mRNA gene therapy operating systems. They're rolling this out into every sector of the health industry. And the old traditional vaccines that people have known for the past 100 years, they simply will, they'll just be put away. They'll be done with them. This is the new moneymaker, and this is the changing of human life.
Yes.
This is changing human life. People that are getting these mRNA operating injections are no longer 100% human. They're becoming transhumanists. So the transhumanist movement is underway. And we never saw this coming, Doc. I've talked about transhumanism for, 15 years. I never saw it coming to the human race through a vaccine.
Right. I mean, there was always some reluctance and opposition to vaccines in the past, especially from our particular community. But, but we never anticipated that it would be the mechanism or the delivery system to change the genetic code of humanity.
Yes, and they have found the way to control the human race, and that is through the fear of a biological pandemic. And that hundreds of millions of people in a country and billions worldwide will tremble with fear and turn off their brain, stop thinking independently, and do whatever they're told to do.
Right. And then silence the voices that dare to question it.
Yes. And so what we're going to be seeing over the next several years is the announcements that various diseases will be conquered soon. Now, Doc, when people have cancer and you tell them that this new vaccine, well, wait a minute, if it's a vaccine, vaccines don't reverse an infection. A vaccine is to prevent a virus from getting in your body.
Well, okay? In cancer, what's being done is your genetic code is being rewritten.
Right.
That's
right.
At the very core of what cancer does.
Right.
So you're telling me that the mRNA operating system reverses that?
That's what they're going to tell people. And when they do this, Doc, there's going to be a stampede of people running to their doctors saying, I want it. Put it in me right away. And then the fear campaign will go on to another level. You don't want to get cancer, do you? You better get this injection. This will prevent you from getting cancer. Now, they lied to people about COVID. They said, if you get this injection, you won't get COVID.
And then people got COVID.
And people got COVID. And they also got strokes. But they're going to lie to people again. And they're going to
But they're going to tell the truth this time, right?
Yeah, right. They're going to lie again and tell them, if you get this vaccination, you will not get cancer. And then they'll go down the list of all the diseases. And people will line up at doctor's offices to get these injections. So I would say by the 2030s, this will be so common. There will be very few humans. There will be very few purebreds left on the planet. Very few, as in the days of Noah. Hmm. How long can you hold out? This is the question I'm asking you. How long can you hold out? How much pressure can you resist? How much peer pressure from friends, relatives, neighbors, your employers? We saw what happened with COVID. They're going to ramp it up in the future with new viruses and pandemics.
Right.
They want the entire human race injected with these gene therapy operating systems. Once you get it, you're no longer a purebred human.
And even if they do come out and say such and such a disease is conquered, I guarantee you they've got another disease waiting right behind
on
that stage right, ready to jump right on and do a tap dance.
Doc, do you know it's already into our food supply?
I know that they've been talking about
No, they're already injecting mRNA vaccines into livestock. It's already happening. Now, when you eat the meat, is it getting into our system? I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm not going to sit here and tell people that it does, but I don't know. But I want to talk to some scientists that would know the truth. Would it enter into your molecular structure of your body when you eat the meat of an animal that has been injected with messenger RNA? The pork industry is doing it big time. Look, we get off to another subject, but the FDA has, USDA has approved laboratory grown meat.
Yes, I knew that.
There are factories, massive factories being built to grow meat, being built now. When does this meat enter into our food system? Do you know now when you go to a drive-through restaurant to get a cheeseburger, do you know if it's real meat or lab-grown? When you go to your local grocery store, do you know if it's real meat or laboratory grown? Because they don't have to put a label on it.
That's right.
The government's going to protect the fake meat industry.
And it's going to protect the environmentalists as well.
Yes.
Because they want to, you know, the environment.
They want to eliminate the livestock.
Right.
And if you're a livestock rancher, you better be aware that these radical climate change people, it's really not about climate change, it's about human change. They are re-engineering human civilization. They plan to eliminate livestock worldwide. It's already happening in Holland. If you're a Dutch farmer and you get a notice from the government saying, we are offering you this much money for your farm. If you reject it, we will condemn your farm and take it. And we're going to shut down. They are going to shut down farms this year in the Netherlands.
Yes.
You think this is crazy. This can't be happening. But it is happening. And it's the foundation of it's being laid here in the USA. It'll take them more time. It's going to take a while to get the Texas cattle industry under control, but they have a plan to do it. You have to see their big agenda. The big agenda is to undo creation.
That's right. That,
this
that's
is Satan attempting to undo creation and recreate through the laboratory. He wants a world that he made. That's where we're headed, a world made by Satan. And these mRNA injections are part of that satanic plan. And it is a satanic plan. And I don't care who gets upset with me, including Donald Trump. He promoted a satanic plan. Isn't it interesting? There's only one candidate for president who publicly opposed the COVID vaccines. Only one. That's Robert F. Kennedy.
Right.
I don't understand why all the people that were against the COVID vaccines aren't running to the Kennedy campaign. And
right.
yet, instead, they're going to the Trump campaign. It's so crazy. The guy that gave you the vaccines. I don't understand human thinking. I just don't understand why people think this way. I just know if I had to choose between Trump and Kennedy, I'm going to go with Kennedy, if that's the choice. Solely on the vaccine issue, I know what Kennedy would do, and I know what Trump would do. And if the Trump supporters say, well, he's not going to do it again.
I'm sorry, I laughed out loud. But you're right.
It's like, okay, you want to be fooled? Go ahead. Hey, what is, here's this next story. This shows you how much our country has changed. A children's choir from South Carolina was in the U.S. Capitol a few days ago singing the national anthem. And the U.S. Capitol Police stopped them because it was offensive.
That's right. I mean, it's a legitimate story. It actually happened back in last month. On May 26th, a children's choir from South Carolina was stopped by a Capitol Police officer from singing the national anthem in the U.S. Capitol. That's according to the New York Post. The incident was captured on video and went viral with millions of views. Capitol Police initially said they were under the impression the group didn't have permission to perform in the building, but later clarified that they were not aware that the Speaker's office had approved this performance. The visit was approved by the office of House Speaker Kevin McCarthy himself, which the Speaker's office confirmed. Now, some Republicans accused the Capitol Police of taking action against the kids due to political bias, but the Capitol Police denied this and accused the congressional staffer of lying to the officers multiple times about having permission from various offices. Now, choir director David Rasbach said, I was shocked, I was dismayed, I was stunned, I couldn't believe what that was happening, that they would stop the national anthem of all songs. Now, the Capitol Police, in a statement, said, recently, somebody posted a video of a children's choir singing the Star Spangled Banner in the U.S. Capitol building and wrongfully claimed we stopped the performance because it might offend someone. Here's the truth. Demonstrations and musical performances are not allowed in the U.S. Capitol. It continues here. Of course, because the singers in this situation were children, our officers were reasonable and allowed the children to finish their beautiful rendition of the Star Spangled Banner, the statement added. The congressional staff member who was accompanying the group knew the rules, yet lied to the officers multiple times about having permission from various offices. The staffer put both the choir and our officers, who were simply doing their jobs, in an awkward and embarrassing position. Now, that's their statement. It sounds like, well, we let them finish. We let them just keep singing and everything. We didn't interfere. But watch this video. Now, it's 2.5 minutes long, so enjoy the song, but at the end, watch at the very end, what they do.
But, Doc, and Speaker McCarthy had given permission. Mm-hmm. But why do you have to get the Speaker's permission to sing the national anthem inside the U.S. Capitol?
Apparently, why? Singing's not allowed.
Not a patriotic song. I bet you could sing a song, a salute to the Black Lives Matter.
You probably could in this environment.
I bet you could sing some song about LGBTQ pride. But they wouldn't stop it. No, they're offended because it's a Star Spangled Banner. And you shouldn't have to have permission to sing your country's national anthem. Those police officers should have stood still in honor and respect of those little kids singing. Those children will remember this the rest of their lives. The police officers should be removed from the Capitol. Speaker McCarthy should show some backbone. I mean, he's over the Capitol Police.
Right.
And he ought to require that those police officers be reassigned and put them out there walking a beat 2 miles from the Capitol building. Assign them to cleaning up dog poop. Do something with some guts. Don't just say it was unfortunate. No, do something. Teach them a lesson, because they're going to do it again.
Right.
They're going to do it again. And so now you have to wonder, if you go to the U.S. Capitol, can you be stopped by the police for doing something patriotic?
Well, and that's a question you got to ask now, isn't it?
So patriotism has become illegal in this country, which means that we're no longer the country we used to be. There's been a revolution. What these children were doing were singing the national anthem of the country that was formed in the other revolution.
That's right.
And that revolution has been overthrown by the communist revolution currently in control of the United States of America. Let's watch the video.
Now, they were clearly told to stop by somebody there, right?
Yes. You saw all the offended people.
Right.
The people with the cameras that were taking videos so they could go home and show it to their friends. They were really, truly offended, right?
Right. And you watched in the center of the screen there, and you saw the officer actually grab the guy back to say, "You go shut this down over
yes.
here.
Yes.
So that's,
Doc,
that's where we are now.
January 6, 2021, you can't express your anger at this government. And in May of 2023, you can't sing a patriotic song in the Capitol. What do we have here?
Well, a coup has taken place.
A coup. It's a communist coup in this country. Well, there's a rapper who is confounding the commies. He produced a rap song against Target retail stores, and this thing has shot to number one. And they're doing their best. Apple and other digital media companies are doing their best to suppress it, but it's getting so many hits that it's still going to number one.
Yes.
Okay. So this is the New York Post.
So according to New York Post, rapper Fergie Out of Blow's song Boycott Target has topped iTunes charts, but the rapper claims that Apple's censorship is keeping it off the radar. The song, which features lyrics addressing an LGBTQ agenda, was released in response to Target's Pride-themed clothing for children. Blow claims that the retailer's support of the LGBTQ community has caused it to lose $10 billion in the past 10 days. And despite reaching number one on iTunes' most popular chart across all genres, Blow claims that the song is being shadow banned and is facing censorship. Now, part of the lyrics here, attention all shoppers, there's a cleanup on every aisle. Target is targeting your kids, said Forgiati Blow in the song's opening line. We're living in a culture right now where people need to speak out. We need to stand up for the children. There's no place for LGBTQ for fourth and fifth graders, said Forgiati Blow during an interview on Fox and Friends. He says the agenda has gone too far. Forgiati Blow captioned a video post showing him holding up a T-shirt that read, Live, Laugh, Lesbian. It's shadow banned all over the world right now. You can't even search the song on iTunes without going to the music video and clicking the external link. So they're trying their hardest to keep it off the radar, said Blow, claiming that the song is facing continued censorship. I had my free speech ripped from me. A lifetime ban on Instagram, a lifetime ban on Facebook for speaking positivity. And that's coming from him saying he's also been silenced on other platforms, too.
Lifetime ban on Instagram and Facebook for defending children. Look, I can't use the words that I want to say against these people. I can't use the words.
Well, they won't let you use the words. That's too.
Yeah, that's right. You can't use the words, okay? There's no scum that compares to these people. They are targeting children. They know they're targeting children. And they are defying parents to do something about it. We're finally seeing an uprising. They finally did something that it started with the Bud Beer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So Bud Beer is now queer beer, and nobody wants to drink it. Bud Light sales are down over 30%. That brand's ruined. It's done. Never going to come back. I hope Target goes into bankruptcy court. I don't care about them at all. I hope they go into bankruptcy court. Every mom and dad, you should just stop going to Target. What is there that you need? What is there?
And Kohl's is doing it too.
Kohl's is another one. Stop doing business with Kohl's. If you have a Kohl's credit card, cut it up. If you have a Target credit card, cut it up and mail it to them. Mail it to them and say, this is in response to your targeting children. Let them see the reaction. I hope they go bankrupt. I don't care. I would be delighted to see these companies go bankrupt. It is time that these people pay a price for what they're doing. But they sit back and laugh and go, the American people aren't going to do anything about it. This will blow over in a couple weeks, and they'll go back to their shopping. Well, we got to show them we're not going to do it. I stopped going to Target years ago when they did when they came out with the transvestite bathrooms. So that's it for me. I'm done. You took your stand. I'm done. All right. So I don't go in a Target store. And any of them that want to do that, I'm done. I'm not spending any money. I barely go anywhere anyhow. So it's not like there's a big, you know. But
there's a lot of people that think along those same lines.
Yes.
And they made those consumer decisions.
Right.
So.
But I am more and more shopping and going to restaurants that are locally owned. I switched my bank account to a locally owned bank. What can you do to return to locally owned businesses? Go back to locally owned businesses and support them. And stop giving money to these big national corporations that are part of this cultural revolution in our country. They're using our money to take our country away from us.
Right.
So stop giving them money. Don't go to Disney. Why are you paying a Disney subscription for video? Why are you doing it? Today, I think, was today or yesterday was Gay Days in Disney, right?
They're not backing down.
They're not backing down at all. They're not backing down at all because they know they're trusting that people are going to still give them money. Cut it off. You have to cut it off. They're showing you what they're going to do to you if you continue to give them money. They're showing us what they're going to do. If they're doing this now, what do they plan for next year? In the year after that?
They're going to go even further.
So when do people cut it off? When do people stop sending the money? When do people stop going in their stores? Do it today. Today's the day. Make that decision today to boycott Target and Kohl's, Starbucks, all these companies that are left-wing sexual perverts. That's what they are. They're sexual perverts. Let's be real about it. Target is targeting your children.
Right.
They're sexual perverts. Why would you go in there? First thing, you could go to, you know what, just for fun, go into your local Target store with your phone and record their LGBTQ clothing line. My understanding is that they're taking down the displays in a lot of places. I've been seeing videos in the past couple of days, people going back to their Target store saying, hey, it's gone.
Well, what they're doing is they're not getting rid of the products, you understand. They're just taking down the front displays. Because when they started this, they were putting the displays right as you entered the stores.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Right at the very front.
Right. Well, organize a protest. Well, I know what they'll do. They'll call the cops and say, this is private property. The parking lot, you can't. See, it is private property. But do they want that in the news? Do they want that in the local news that they had the police come and arrest 100 moms? Is that what they want? Let it happen in hundreds of stores. That in 1 week, thousands of mothers were arrested by Target calling the local police. You have to do something. They're betting on you not doing something. They're always counting on you not doing anything. And that's typically the way Americans have reacted. And inch by inch, they've been taking more ground. And they've taken so much ground now, we're standing on the ledge. There's hardly anything left to stand on. Well, stop standing and kick. They need to be kicked. Kicked where it hurts. Let's go to Bloomberg. Biden debt bill signing set to unleash tsunami of U.S. debt sales. Yeah, go, Joe.
Well, Bloomberg, sorry, you caught me off guard there. Bloomberg is reporting that President Joe Biden's signing of the legislation suspending the federal debt ceiling has given the Treasury Department the green light, basically, to resume net new debt issuance after months of disruption. Now, the debt auctions are now set to swell, which could drain liquidity from the banking sector, raise short-term funding rates, and tighten the screws on an economy that many economists see headed for a recession. Bank of America has estimated that the issuance wave could have the same economic impact as a quarter-point interest rate hike by the Federal Reserve. Now, the Treasury Department will offer investors guidance on how quickly it will step up the issuance through auction announcements. Now, give you a picture of what's happening here. This is the Treasury Department's disappearing cash pile. And this is just since June of last year. And you see that steady decline of cash being drained from Treasury after hitting the debt limit. And so this downward trend now supposedly is going to be reversed.
Because we're sending it to Ukraine.
Right.
You know, I got a website domain.
You sure you want to say it out loud?
Well, I own it.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the variation because there are different ones. It's Nomo Joe 24. I remember it's
No Mojo.
No Mojo is in it. I don't remember if it's No Mojo 2024, but anyhow, I got to get something up on that website. No Mojo. Well, default wave is imminent. Will peak in 2024, says Germany's Deutsche Bank.
According to Reuters, Deutsche Bank has warned that a wave of defaults is imminent, will peak in the next year. The bank's report states that the global default rate will hit 4.6% by 2025, with the peak expected next year. But the report cites rising interest rates and the end of government support measures and tightening financial conditions as the main drivers of the impending default wave. Now, the report also warns that emerging markets are at higher risk of default than developed markets due to their weaker credit profiles. Now, what's interesting is the profiles that Deutsche Bank came out with. It expects default rates to peak in the fourth quarter of next year. It forecasts peak default rates to reach 9% for U.S. high-yield debt, 11.3% for U.S. loans, 4.4% for European high-yield bonds, and 7.3% for European loans. What that translates to is it's going to be U.S. debt that's going to be driving this default wave globally. And as U.S. debt defaults, there's going to be a domino effect across markets all throughout the world.
Yeah. Commercial real estate is going to be a disaster in 2024.
And I don't even believe they've even calculated that part of this yet, because they got to know that the commercial ledge, I mean, you're talking about standing on a ledge before. Commercial real estate, we've been observing, has been on a ledge forever and teetering off the cliff here. Mm-hmm. And any day we could see a total crash in the commercial real estate market.
They're anticipating 30 to 40% drop in values going into 24.
And we're already seeing that in some cities already.
If you got a commercial real estate you want to sell, you better get moving and get it sold. And if you want to buy commercial real estate, just hang in there. You'll get a 30 to 40% drop in the next year. Saudi Arabia cuts oil output after OPEC members clash over quotas. And you've already... We've already seen the repercussions today, Doc. Oil was up, I think, maybe about $2 a barrel today.
Right. And that's just in the anticipation of the production cut, just the talk of it. So the Wall Street Journal is saying that Saudi Arabia and some OPEC members have clashed over oil production quotas. The UAE has been pushing for a higher production quota, but Saudi Arabia and its allies have resisted. Now, the disagreement has led to a delay in a decision on how to proceed with increasing production. Saudi Arabia has since cut its oil output, hoping to pressure the UAE to accept the production quotas. The dispute could lead to a wider rift within OPEC and potentially impact global oil prices. And just the talk of it is causing problems, as Rick said. Now, a couple quotes from this. It says, I would have to call it the Saudi lollipop. And that's coming from Saudi oil minister Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman. He was speaking during a news conference that aired live after the OPEC Plus meeting, referring to the million barrel cut for July. It is really a great day for us because the quality of the agreement is unprecedented. And I would have to say the quality of cooperation is unprecedented. Now, the focus on financial markets underscores the pressure facing the first Saudi prince to run the oil ministry, as his half-brother, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, pursues his plans to reshape the kingdom's oil-dependent economy. Abdulaziz must keep crude prices at a level that would make those efforts economically feasible. And he went on to say, in that article, the prospects of seeing Brent below $70 per barrel is much more frightening than the prospect of a less balanced market. That's coming from Victor Cotona, senior analyst at Data Commodities Agents Kepler.
Doc, did you see the price of Bitcoin today?
No, I hadn't had a chance yet.
The last time I saw it was about an hour ago. It was in the $25,000 range. Okay. Big drop today because the Securities and Exchange Commission filed a lawsuit against Binance.
Yes.
The biggest crypto exchange network in the world. The Biden administration is waging war against crypto. They One of two things is going on. Either they want to cripple the crypto market to make way for the CBDC of the Federal Reserve, and they don't want any competition, or as they're driving down the price of crypto, when it gets low enough, they'll buy up a lot of it. And then they
wouldn't do that, would they, Rick?
And then they'll settle the lawsuits. And they'll make billions.
Well, according
to Joe Biden, he wouldn't do anything crooked, would he?
No, not at all. Well, according to the Wall Street Journal, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has accused Binance of violating securities laws by illegally offering U.S. investors unregistered digital asset securities. Now, the SEC also alleged that Binance failed to disclose its use of customer funds to support its business growth and expansion. The complaint seeks sued to prevent Binance from operating illegally in the U.S. and to return money to harmed investors. Binance has faced regulatory scrutiny in several countries, including Japan, the U.K., and Canada. Quote from the article, the Securities and Exchange Commission has accused cryptocurrency exchange Binance Holdings Limited of illegally offering U.S. investors digital asset securities that were not registered with the agency. And the SEC also alleged that Binance failed to disclose its dealings with related parties and its use of customer funds to support business growth and expansion. Finally, the SEC's complaint alleges that Binance intentionally and substantially disregarded its obligations under U.S. securities laws. That's according to the Wall Street Journal.
So, Doc, there's a long-running lawsuit with the SEC against Ripple.
Right.
And a court ruling is expected any day, and any day could be from today to the end of the year. But this lawsuit's been underway for years. But the judge has indicated she's going to make a ruling soon. The SEC is attempting, they want the court to rule that cryptocurrencies are securities,
right,
like shares of stock. But they're not. See, if the court rules in favor of the SEC, then the SEC gets to regulate cryptocurrencies, and then you have to go to a stockbroker
to buy crypto.
On Wall Street to buy crypto. And guess who gets rich? Everybody else gets put out of business and all the money flows to the big boys on Wall Street. So that lawsuit is going to be resolved very soon, either in favor of the SEC or against the SEC.
And if it's against the SEC, then crypto is treated like a commodity at
yes,
that point.
Yes, that's right. And the moment... If the court ruling goes in favor of crypto, that it's a commodity, the prices are going to skyrocket. People, the market is suppressed right now because people are watching that court trial, but now they got a second one. And that's why cryptocurrency prices went down again today, because potential buyers are saying, well, I'm not putting money into crypto, this thing's going south. But we don't know what their motives are. We don't know if it's to eliminate competition for the Federal Reserve or whether they're just depressing the market while they buy up crypto so they're going to inflate the market later. We don't know what it is. But if the court rules in favor of cryptocurrency and declares it to be a commodity, that's the time to get into crypto quickly, like within minutes. Literally within minutes of the court ruling, you want to be invested in it because it's going to take off. I mean, it's going to skyrocket. And it will be the beginning of the bull market that will go for about 2 years. And but I would not, I don't want to give out advice. Right. Personally, I'm not buying any cryptocurrency until there's a court ruling. I'm not buying any until there's a court ruling. Because if they rule against crypto, it's a disaster. It's a complete disaster. You'll see trillions of dollars leave the crypto industry. It'll be a disaster. This next story, OpenAI's Sam Altman says Israel will have a huge role to play in the artificial intelligence revolution. Boy, doesn't that make me feel good.
Warms the cockles of your heart. The Times of Israel is reporting that OpenAI CEO Sam Altman recently visited Israel and expressed his confidence that the country's tech ecosystem will play a huge role in the artificial intelligence revolution transforming the world. Now, Altman cited two particular strengths of Israel's tech industry: talent density and relentlessness, drive and ambition of Israeli entrepreneurs. He also noted that Israel's talent pool is impressive and optimal for leading to incredible prosperity in terms of AI research and AI applications. Now, Altman's visit comes as part of a worldwide tour to meet with AI users and developers as well as policymakers. Now, earlier on Monday, Altman met with President Isaac Herzog, who together with his partner Sutskever, who also serves as OpenAI's chief scientist, its COO, Brad Lightcap, and its VP of Public Policy, Anna Makanju. After that, Altman visited Microsoft's Research and Development Center in Israel. The U.S. tech giant has invested billions of dollars in OpenAI. Altman told Herzog that his visit to Israel is very special to him. Now, Mr. Herzog, President Herzog, responded, "The rate at which the tech and startup community in Israel is embracing AI is incredible to watch." Altman said, "The energy on making use of the technology and its positive benefits is fantastic to see. I'm sure Israel will play a huge role. Its tech community is truly amazing." And then the president responded, "Clearly, side by side with the great opportunities of this incredible technology, there are also many risks to humanity and to the independence of human beings in the future. Medicine will be dramatically improved by AI. However, issues of ethics and morality, questions of fake news show the risk." And, you know,
AI is going to regulate news. AI is going to determine what's true and what's not true. And Israel is going to program it.
That's at the heart of it right there.
That's what you just read there. That's what they're saying. Look, whether it's China or the United States or the European Union or Russia or Israel or Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia is in the AI business too. Whoever wins the AI race will rule the world. And it doesn't have to be a country. It could be an ism.
Or an it.
Or an it. It doesn't have to be a nation. It could be an ism. It could be a global ism. It could be communism. It could be Zionism. It could be Scientology.
Or it could be something we haven't even imagined yet.
Something that AI creates. Or it could be a group of billionaires or one billionaire who has a strategy to harness and control AI. That's what's at stake right now. Hey, I told you last Friday that I interviewed ChatGPT and asked it some questions. I put it in a transcript, and then we recorded the answers. When I did the interview, there was no audio. We made the audio recording of the responses AI gave me to my questions. So by the time you're watching this, my email should have already arrived to you. We send it out to everybody that has that we have your email address. And if you've not signed up, go to truenews.com, scroll down to the very bottom of the website, and you will see the place to enter your email address. Truenews.com, scroll down to the bottom of the page and enter your email address in the box, and we'll send you the newsletter. And again, it'll come with audio.
Yes.
So I want to close today's program. We're just going to play maybe a minute of my interview with AI. We did not alter anything that AI said to me in response to my questions. You're getting it verbatim, precisely as it stated it to me last Friday. Here it is.
What do you think your traits and abilities will be in the year 2030?
Predicting the specific traits and abilities of an AI model like me in the year 2030 is challenging since it depends on various factors, including technological advancements, research progress, and the goals of the developers and researchers working on AI. However, it's reasonable to assume that AI models in 2030 could have several advancements compared to the present. Here are some potential areas of improvement. 1. Enhanced knowledge. AI models would likely have access to more recent and extensive datasets, enabling them to possess a broader and more up-to-date understanding of the world. 2. Improved contextual understanding. Future AI models may excel at understanding context, nuances, and even emotions in human language, allowing for more accurate and nuanced responses. 3. Expanded domain expertise. AI models might specialize in specific domains, such as medicine, law, or engineering, to provide more in-depth and accurate insights and assistance in those fields.